Learn from today's most innovative brands and observe how they empower employees, engage consumers, design products, and co-create experiences together. Welcome to the Brand Lab series from AE Marketing Group.
Hi, everyone. I'm Brian Walker. We're excited to have you with us for a new episode of the Brand Lab Series podcast, broadcasting each week from 1871 here in Chicago. And we explore today's most innovative brands alongside today's most insightful executives and entrepreneurs. Today's guest is John Everett. He's the Chief Operating Officer and Chief Financial Officer at Mediafly, one of Chicago's fastest growing tech companies. And with that said, let's enter the Brand Lab. Good morning, Natalie. How are you?
Good. Hi, Brian.
So I feel a little bit silly because here we've done almost 50 of these episodes. And without having Anna in the studio today, we had a couple of technical glitches to get the show started. But we're now ready to roll. So I'm thrilled to have John on. Mediafly is an AE customer and one of the fastest growing companies in Chicago. I'm sure he'll have a lot of insight for us. But I think we should take a minute, though, and realize, wow, you and I have been doing this now for 50 episodes. That's crazy.
I know. This is so exciting. 50 is a big deal.
Yeah, I'm surprised you've stuck with me all this time.
Whatever. It's fun. This is super fun.
Yeah. And what's exciting is our audience is doubling every month. And we just finished our biggest month ever in terms of subscribers and downloads. So I think it's been great. And we've been really fortunate to have some amazing guests from some really big brands, high level executives to some really innovative entrepreneurs on the show.
Yeah, the content of this podcast every week is truly awesome. We learn so much from our guests.
Yeah, and if you'd like to hear other episodes and learn more on the Brand Lab Series podcast, you can find us in iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and Stitcher. But why don't we turn it over to today's show and welcome John. So John, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah. Sorry about these odd technical difficulties today, but I appreciate your patience. Why don't we start with telling our audience a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Mediafly?
Sure. So my name is John Everts. I'm Chief Operating Officer and Chief Financial Officer for Mediafly. It's great to be here and excited to get a chance to tell our story and talk a little bit about Mediafly. We call ourselves the Evolved Selling Platform. Essentially, we like to deliver breakthrough results for our customers by building beautiful technology that delivers real-time interactive insight in every meeting. So we want to be the evolved selling platform for all large businesses that have a distributed workforce that includes salespeople and distributors. So a lot of very large companies use Mediafly as the kind of the last mile when they're in the selling motion and in meetings to deliver the perfect meeting. We say we bring meetings to life.
And I can speak to that firsthand because I've had the opportunity to use your technology. And I've also had situations where I haven't had your technology. So I appreciate what you guys are doing to make the overall buying and selling experience that much better, more relevant, and certainly more evolved. So excited to have you with us today.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So it sounds like Mediafly has had some really good years as a startup. Can you talk a little bit about the role and maybe even the pressures that come along with being the COO and CFO in this time period?
Yeah, sure. So so I'll say I was lucky enough to join Carson Conant, who's the founder and CEO, around 2010. And since then, we've been able to kind of navigate some tough recessionary times, but also essentially build what we feel to be a really strong player in an enterprise software market, which is not easy to do. And so sometimes it's interesting. I wear two hats, right? So I wear a chief operating officer hat, which is much more kind of strategy, long plays. So things like, how do we kick off analyst relations? How do we look at marketing? How do we look at strategic partnerships? How do we focus on improving our valuation? And how do we raise capital? And that then kind of translates then into the next piece, which is, essentially resource deployment. So I get a chance to take a look at strategy. I get a chance to take a look at things like how do we use the resources that we have at our disposal, whether they're human resources or financial resources, and then try to put those in such a way that we're able to maximize the value of the company on a daily basis. And so I kind of see the marriage of the chief operating officer and chief financial officer roles really as the intersection between those two pieces, right? One, I'm thinking about strategy on a daily basis. And then two, how do we do everything we need to have the appropriate resources to be successful and grow? And Natalie, you mentioned that we've been growing quite a bit. And I'd say, yeah, we're really lucky. So we've been able to work really hard to put ourselves in a position where the Inc. magazine has recognized us the last 4 years now as a high growth organization and included us in the Inc. 5000.
Let's keep talking about that for a minute. AE Marketing Group is also an Inc. 5000 company. We're not at 4 years yet. That's incredible growth. Mm-hmm. You just talked a little bit about the pressures and the big hats you wear as COO and CFO. Talk about just managing that kind of rapid growth the last 4 years. What's that like?
Sure. And, you know, it's really interesting. It comes in waves, right? So what I find is each different kind of tier of revenue comes with different types of challenges. And so, you know, sometimes it's product related and a maturing product. And we're lucky that we have an amazing development team led by our chief technology officer, Jason Shaw. And prior to that, led by Carson, the CEO and founder. And I think their leadership and Jason's leadership now has really pushed us in a position to first focus on delivering a quality platform and delivering a enterprise platform versus, you know, serving any number of masters, right? And I think focus was really the first push that was necessary to get us into that first hurdle. And then starting to productize, right? And starting to identify, you know, now that we've got a product that people are asking for and people want, how do we really sell it? How do we package it in such a way that allows us to start generating revenue in a more repeatable fashion? Right. And so you have the idea, you have the concept, you've now created this product that people want. So you've identified what I know a lot of people call product market fit, or at least initial phase of product market fit. And so your next piece really is focusing, okay, so how do we grow our business? And so once you have something that's repeatable and you have a product that you can take to market, the next phase, honestly, is infrastructure. How do you put the infrastructure in place so that ultimately you can support what hopefully will be an opportunity for growth, right? How do you put the necessary, honestly, HR and compliance and legal pieces in place and policies in place? So as you hire people, you do it the right way. As you bring on customers, you do it as close as you can to a less customized contract, right? Because everybody knows, especially if you're an enterprise, lots of times you're working from other people's paper. And so that's one of the challenges, is how do you understand the give and take related to those compliance and legal aspects, and that all comes with infrastructure. And then finally, how do you source the capital that's necessary? Because lots of times you want to be investing ahead of revenue. And in order to do that, you need to have access to the capital at the right times in order to drive that.
Well, I know we'll talk about the capital in a couple of minutes, but one of the things I want to talk about as well is one of your two hats is obviously the CFO. And if there's one thing I've learned from a career in marketing, is a lot of marketers fear the CFO. but interestingly enough, I noted that you had a minor in marketing back in college.
I did.
But when you first hear marketing, what comes to mind as a CFO?
Yeah. So honestly, spend money to make money. Right. I mean, so my focus really there is, how do I provide the resources that are necessary for marketing to be effective? Right. We need to communicate a consistent and compelling message that's differentiated out into the market, so that when customers think about us, they're aware of what's going on. And so, you know, I think I'm a little atypical in my CFO-ness, although maybe I'm not. But the way I think about it is, OK, so what is the right amount of capital to deploy for marketing initiatives to ensure we're maximizing that spend, but also we're spending enough to drive revenue, to take the next step? And so when I think about marketing, I really think about, you know, a military term, right? Air cover. Ultimately, it's critical for you to get the message out for it to be consistent, compelling, and differentiated. And there are efforts required in order to get that out there.
So thinking along the lines of practical advice for our listeners, tell us about some of the ways you've figured out to help marketers and finance improve their working relationship.
Yeah. So I think it's really important to have a marketer, and we're lucky to be joined by Mike Murray also. But from my perspective, I need to be able to be effective. The best way for me to do that is to have a partner, right? And so I look at as the chief marketing officer and honestly the C-suite, or what we call the G7 or the group of seven leaders within MediaFly, I look at those as partners. And honestly, I look for my position essentially to be a service provider to them. Right. And I think my job is to provide them with the resources they need to be successful. And so while, yeah, I have a little bit of a opportunity to nudge where I think it's necessary, the reality is I want to be a partner and I need them to be a partner with me. So communicating effectively, telling me what I need to know, and honestly, as few surprises as possible. But I feel like as long as the communication structure is there, it really allows me to understand why we're spending the way that we are, right? Because ultimately on the marketing side, lots of times it's spend, right? It's spend in order to drive first activity and then ultimately revenue. And as a startup, that's one of the things that's hard to get your mind around as a CFO is, look, I'm funding activity, at least to start. I'm not actually funding revenue. It's hard to translate that because our sales deal cycles are so long, right? And so if I'm doing my job, I'm helping identify what are the key metrics that we want to have in place. I'm helping to identify, here's the spend that we have, and when necessary, make adjustments to that and communicate those adjustments, positive or negative. But then also get and feed and be an advocate for the information that the marketing officer, chief marketing officer is doing.
Well, I've had the opportunity to meet with the G7. And Every time I do, I feel really important because when I think of the G7, I think of, wow, I'm going to meet the G7.
That's right. And I can't trademark that, by the way.
Yeah, I know. But one of the things that I like and appreciate your candor, and I know we've had some discussions over at your office, which is fantastic, by the way, is kind of along the lines of calculating bets, if you really can. Why don't you talk about that as a little example as well? I know it's something that you, myself, the CMO, and others have all talked about.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like when you're in a startup, you're always constrained by resources, right? So you have to be really smart in how you deploy them. The way that I look at it, and I actually give attribution for this concept to Jim Holtzman, who's on our board of directors. He's one of our major advisors and a mentor of mine for some time. He talks about making small bets and seeding small bets. And then once you have seeded enough small bets, you'll start to see some pan out and some not. And so what you want to do is as things start to pan out and you make small bets, say analyst relations, for instance, you make a little bit of, you know, you break the paywall with an analyst firm. That analyst firm then provides insight to you. You gain mind share, right? Then maybe you gain a little bit of influence and then maybe you're included in a report, right? Then you double down, right? And the key there is to, you always have to be making bets and you always have to be comfortable that some of those bets aren't going to pay off. But if you're disciplined and you're regimented in how you deploy that capital and you do it in a very meaningful and smart way, the reality is your exposure is minimized and it allows you to then redeploy resources and things that start working, right? So for us, that was outbound calling when we were ready for it. It's analyst relations when we were ready for it. And this year, one of the things that we're starting to see is by investing in the marketing team and events, more specifically, a ton of focus on events this year, it really allows us to take advantage of what we see as an opportunity to grow leads, to grow opportunities, and for MediaFly to grow. And so, you know, as we think about seeding them and then starting to see them kind of grow and come to fruition and kind of create, bear fruit almost, right, is now you're starting to see, okay, I make a small bet, I double down, I keep investing, and all of a sudden now I've got a very successful initiative that I've been able to roll out over a short period of time.
That's great. Now, obviously, to sit down at the table and even bet requires capital.
That's
right.
You
talked a little bit about that. And MediaFly has gotten a lot of attention the last couple of months, not just for its rapid growth, its amazing new headquarters, but also the fact that you guys raised $10 million. talk about that experience through the lens of a CFO. I know we've talked a little bit about it off air, but I'd love for you to share that experience with our listeners.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. Carson and I always joke, you're never not fundraising. So no matter what, you're just never not fundraising. And for us, it was a long learning curve. So part of the thing that we've been focusing on is really building an organization that allows us to get to a point where we can feel comfortable that we can prove we're ready to scale. Right. And so we've been working very, very hard to create a replicable sales model to get the right data and the right information in play that allows us to say, OK, we're ready. And for the market to be ready for us to take our next step. Right. And so what we found is the right partner, and we were waiting for the right partner to come along. We were waiting for the right amount of money. Right. And, you know, you think about dilution, and I'm sure you've heard of that before. So ownership and how much money you take impacts what ownership structure is for the rest of your initial shareholders. And up until the point where we were ready for what we call our Series B round of funding, which is $10 million, we were completely angel funded. And that means you're going out and you're talking to people and you're regularly out there having conversations. But up until the point where we were ready, and this really was just this last year, we've been having conversations with folks regularly and only funding as we've needed it, and not really funding ahead of or investing ahead of the revenue. So revenue came in, we'd make the next hires, right? And we'd finance, internally finance the build. We had a great banking relationship, a great banking partner that helped us to continue that process. And then just recently, you know, we were lucky that we came across Boathouse Capital as a result of a roadshow that we went on. And our discussions with Boathouse really went very, very strongly. And it was very clear that they were an excellent partner, both for now, but also we see it for a long term. And I think that really set us up for success and allowed us to really invest ahead of revenue really for the first time. And it was because we were ready and honestly, because we knew what we'd do with it. And those are the two pieces that we wanted to be very smart so that the investors didn't take more dilution than was necessary, our existing investors. And then we ended up taking $10 million that allowed us to start investing in very specific areas ahead of revenue. And so that's increasing the market sales and marketing staff. It's making some adjustments to the product team to allow us to continue to innovate and add another set of features parallel, right? And ultimately allowed us to put in place a plan that I think puts us on a track to continue to grow as fast as we have been able to.
So you just pointed out some really critical things, I think, and thanks for your insights there. From your experience, what else can founders do to improve their odds of raising money when it actually comes down to it?
Yeah, I think it's relationships, right? And it's amazing. One of the folks that I talked to and that serves as a mentor for me talked about folks investing in lines and not dots. Right? And what does that mean? That means each time you touch somebody, each time you talk to somebody is a dot, it's a data point. And ultimately, what you want to do when you're talking to investors, whether they're angel investors, like we've been dealing with for an extended period of time, or more recently, when we're talking about potential of raising a Series B, you want to be able to demonstrate, here is what we're trying to do, and then deliver and say, now here's what we're trying to do, and then deliver and establish a relationship, right? Whether that's with an angel, whether that's with an institutional partner, whether that's with a potential acquirer down the road, or the institutions that are going to fund our IPO, right? Whatever that may be at any given time, that provides us with a set of people that we can go to, that we can talk to, that we can share our story. And if it's a good story, the reality is the cash will be there, the revenue will be there, and ultimately, you know, whatever the exit may be, that will be there too.
So we all want to see MediaFly be wildly successful, and you're certainly on your way. So what does an exit or an end game look like for you guys?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So I think of that in two ways. So the first way I think about it is our goal really is to build a great company. And so we don't really build that with an exit in mind, right? And so the first way is we want to hire amazing people. And if we hire amazing people, the revenue will be there, the cash will be there. And ultimately, whatever ends up happening, whether that's IPO or an exit or an acquisition, that, you know, that'll be there. The other way that I think about it is, you know, we think of a successful exit as an exit that produces a valuation that allows for 10 time return on early angel investment. So what does that mean? That means, let's say, if there's a dollar a share, easy numbers, right? A dollar a share, that there's a $10 a share ultimate valuation for our investors. And there's a couple different ways to look at that. There's essentially three ways to provide that return in the long term, right? If you think about 100% of the successful exits and how we would define that as 10 times early angel capital, 75% of that is a likely acquisition, 15% to private equity recapitalization. So a private equity firm comes in and essentially provides capital to buy a majority of the organization. And then the last 10% or a 1 in 10 chance is actually an IPO. So we're just going to build a great business. We're going to think about continuing to hire the right people and the right skill sets that allow us to get there. And if we hire all perfectly, we get a 1 in 10 shot to go IPO. And other than that, there are opportunities for acquisition or private equity recapitalization.
Well, it's absolutely an exciting time for MediaFly. So talk about what's next for the here and now.
Sure. So next on the horizon really is we're excited about some partnerships that we're creating, whether that's with Salesforce or whether that's with specifically with SAP. We've got some really neat partnerships that we're doing, and we're starting to build more of a global alliances structure. So not only are we having a great marketing team that's in place, not only are we conducting great events, we've got a product now that we know we can bring to a global market. And whether that's through SAP or whether that's through our team that's going to be overseas, we've hired somebody in Germany now. So we are growing our presence and growing our footprint and setting ourselves up for honestly what we feel to be more continued really strong growth. And honestly, the best way to learn about MediaFly is any one of our social angles, social places. You can come to Twitter, you can go to Facebook, you can go to Instagram, and you can obviously go to our website, which is www.mediafly.com. And you know, we'd love to talk to you about Evolve Selling. We'd love to talk to you about our framework and how we're thinking about it, what it means to truly sell in a dynamic, in an interactive way that allows folks to have data insight as well as fully integrated CRM. And what does that actually mean? And, you know, we're at the point now where we feel like customers that we can talk to, we can tell them a very different story from what they're hearing out in the market. And we feel like we're going to take a thought leadership role in this rapidly evolving space.
Well, it's absolutely an exciting time for MediaFly. I'm excited to actually play a small part in that. Mm-hmm. It's great to experience your technology firsthand. And it's always good to talk to a CFO who's friendly with marketing. And, you know, in addition to having a minor in marketing, I also happen to notice that, were you in the Glee Club back in college?
I was.
Since we're on the microphones, would you like to
sing a tune? No. I think I'm okay.
All right. Well, John Everts, Chief Operating Officer and Chief Financial Officer of MediaFly, so grateful for your time today. Grateful for your wisdom. I'm sure our audience will appreciate it. Thanks for joining us in the Brand Lab series today.
Thanks very much, Natalie and Brian. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Thanks, John.
To learn more about MediaFly or Evolve Selling, visit MediaFly.com or follow us on Twitter at MediaFly or on Facebook or Instagram.
I want to thank our listeners for joining us in the Brand Lab today and to invite you back next Tuesday as we continue our journey of today's most innovative brands as we learn how they empower employees, engage consumers, design products, and co-create experiences together. To listen to other Brand Lab Series podcast episodes, visit brandlabseries.com. Follow us on Twitter at Brand Lab Series. And if you have any questions or ideas for a future Brand Lab Series podcast, email us at info@brandlabseries.com.